Hey, it's Jeremy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Hello.
It's Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, how's it going?
Better.
Better is good.
Anybody else in yet?
Yep.
Tina's in here.
Hey, Tina, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing great. We had another person, but they left us. So we got Carolyn and Tina so far. I'll give it just another minute or so. How is it almost the end of March? This is just crazy.
Holy moly.
I know. All right, let's just go ahead and get going then. So, Carolyn, you want to check in? Sounds like things are going a lot better.
Well, I would have to say, you know, the grief walk is not my favorite.
Yeah.
But being that it is a part of life, I guess that maybe the best thing is to say it can be done well. So it's just been, for me, this has been just unbelievable to be able to be with my various family members at the level that I can be. But even as I'm better at being myself, I don't know if this makes any sense, I'm better at letting them be where they are. And so that maybe it's, you know, Alan had a really tough day on Palm Sunday, and then everybody has their different ways of showing it. So it's not like get everything done, but I'm better at saying, well, what is the essential part of what we need to do right now? And can we just do that? So that is incredible to me. Our second daughter, and I would say the administrative thing, Joanna has now been diagnosed with the ADHD, so our second child, who is a sophomore in college. So it's both Sarah and Joanna. So with Joanna, she started on Vyvanse this week. With Joanna, so the thing that I thought was incredible is to say to Joanna, I know it's a little bit late in the day to be starting this, but we had a snow day on Monday, but I'm like, can we start it while you're home? because I'd like you to be able to feel what's different. I'd like to see if there's any reaction. So,
sure.
We have a lot of work to do in terms of still exploring the how-tos of how she's, you know, specifically where she's getting stuck. That's huge progress for us, because what that means is the anxiety level is low enough now that the ADHD has blossomed and the executive function deficits. To me, it's like, I can't believe how wonderful it is to be saying to her, Joanna, you know, let's talk about, you know, which part of setting this up is really hard. And it's so, even though she's really jittery from the Vyvanse for right now, her sister was on it and said, it's enjoy the high because that goes. but the thing that was amazing is actually for the first time ever hearing her process out how she was figuring something out or intending to do. And so that's really incredible. So I would say that's the awesome thing, because otherwise it was just a blank wall. So she was quiet. Our older child was always obstinate and defiant and argumentative. And Joanna was just as that, but very quiet. And so you never really knew what was happening beyond the wall. But to have her have words to describe what was going on was incredible.
So. That is huge. That is amazing. Truly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of progress in a very short period of time on some pretty major fronts.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Tina, what's going on with you?
Not much. Just going along here, trying to understand getting ready for high school. I've been sort of taking aim at trying to find the best environment for my son to be successful in high school, and it's going to be very challenging. So we've been visiting some places and having some conversations, and I guess that's kind of what we've been doing, just gathering our information. And so,
right, because you've been homeschooling him, right?
Right.
Right, so this will be a big transition.
Well, he's been in school before, but, you know, it definitely will be a big transition for sure. He's excited
right.
about it. I'm the one that's the nervous wreck about it, but I'm just trying to tell myself, you know, just go in a direction. If it turns out not to be right, I think I'm just a little bit of a perfectionist, and I try to pressure myself to think of everything and get it all right all the first time, you know, and I really am just putting a lot of, I'm just driving myself insane. So I really just need to just sit back and say, you know what, do the best you can with what you have at the moment. If it doesn't work, turn around and go another way. And that's
exactly
kind of where I am.
Exactly. Any celebrations that you want to mention or process?
I guess we had some frustration with Will getting his room clean. The biggest thing I did was let that go. I'm definitely a person that likes things to be organized, but he has a room in the basement, you know, that's a really big area, and the truth is it doesn't really matter if it's all that messy. It probably goes a lot with today's getting buy-in. I have pretty much no buy-in, except I decided to take I had put his allowance in a sort of buy-in, but I've discovered that allowance being like a week out, it was just too much of a long-term goal.
Too
you would think not, being a week out, but apparently so.
Oh.
So, And it was like he didn't really care if he didn't get money because he couldn't think of anything he wanted. But then all of a sudden when he wanted something, he had all the buy-in in the world, and it was just frustrating because he would want to do every task under the sun and get as much money as he could and try to do it all in one day. And that concept of even if you don't have something you want to buy, just get was just not sticking. So we did take the whole allowance out completely. We made a contract, and the contract says that allowance is to teach him about money. But if he's never making any money and he's waiting until the last minute and he's not learning about money. So we decided
right.
to take the whole allowance thing away from the chores
mm-hmm.
and place it somewhere else. So it'll probably mm-hmm. go with today's a little more. What we decided to do is we know he likes his online access. I figured out how to change your Wi-Fi password. And so I try to make it where you don't lose something for not doing your chores, but the Wi-Fi password changes on Friday. And if you want it,
I love it.
You earn it
mm-hmm.
by doing your chores. So now you're going to gain the new password. So there you go.
Love
that's kind of a success that we had. It worked very nicely last week. He wants the Wi-Fi password. He's like, oh, crap, my Wi-Fi doesn't work. I'm like, I know, because we have this trash all has to be gathered up and taken out. Oh, okay. He ran, and he did it so well, and it was beautiful. It was done exactly the way I asked him to do. Wi-Fi password in, we move along.
Well, nice. I love that.
I guess that was a little bit of a success. And now maybe we can focus more on teaching how to use money, because if you actually have some there, you know, we can work with that.
You can use it for things, right?
Right.
That's awesome. That's one of my favorites. I have several people that I work with that do the thing with the Wi-Fi password, and it is a powerful motivator. It works awesome.
It is.
We've never been able to do it at our house because we've got too many kids and there are too many devices that would need to be changed.
It makes it, you're right. I only have one. And it is mm-hmm. annoying to change it all on everything, for sure.
Right, right. But, yeah, I think it's great. I absolutely love it. I have friends, people who turn the Wi-Fi off at a certain time.
Right.
And,
that's right. I do that, too.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. I love it. Wonderful. Well, cool. Thank you for sharing that. Let me check real quick and see if someone else has joined us. And if not, then we'll move into motivation, which is one of my favorites. They're all my favorites, honestly. I love all these topics. There's just something something unique and powerful and new that we take away from each one. And sometimes there are things that we already knew, and it's just nice to be reminded of them, and we hear them in different ways each time, which I think is so cool. Yeah, it's just going to be the three of us, so that's cool for now anyway. If someone else joins in, I'll let you know. But okay, so talking about motivation, so we're going to go back around real quick and just kind of figure out what we want to take aim on. And just as a quick reminder in terms of taking aim, so the topic for today is getting buy-in or finding motivation, and that falls under those two critical response areas of shifting expectations or setting a realistic expectation, which also includes taking into account that 3 to 5 year developmental delay and using systems and structures to put those plans together. So when we take aim, we want to be real specific. We want to think about what it is in terms of the areas where ADHD impacts either our lives or our child's lives, that we can find something that's kind of floated to the top. Maybe it's, focusing on identifying a high school or putting together a success plan once we're in high school. Maybe it's just around, putting together some more things with getting college done, or verbalizing what's going on. So I'll let you guys think for a second, and then whichever one of you is ready first, just jump on in with what feels good to take aim on this week.
Well, I've since the last 2 weeks, I had specifically taken aim on gathering information, I guess. I think we sort of, we did visit a place. It actually turned out to be the public high school we were assigned to go to, and it had a lot of, honestly, it has, sort of, I'm going to try to make this quick, like a freshman academy where the freshmen are separated from the rest of the school. And I think it really is helpful when he is making a big transition like that to make it not quite too big. I actually found that really appealing. We visited. All the teachers are really young. A lot of them are male, which he always does better with male teachers. And they're all very young, and they look very energetic. So we visited, and they have like an ROTC program. My son, who's always been into sort of military-type things, expressed an interest in wanting to do that, which is a great program.
Oh, yeah.
And it might help him rule out military or rule in military sorts of jobs.
Sure.
And so they had a lot of things, and it was honestly the last one on my list. But after I visited, I was really impressed with the program.
Oh,
and
neat.
If that's what he really wants, I'm thinking he'll be more apt to do it if he has the buy-in. He certainly has the motivation because he liked it, and he knew some of the kids that were there already. So I'm thinking that might be our direction. So I guess my next thing to take aim at is putting – I got a book that I want to read through. I got it off. Somebody posted it on the parent
of
the Lifeline group or the parent.
Oh, great.
And it was ordered, it was off a website, and I ordered the book, and it is a very good book. And so I'm going to try to put together a very intense high school oriented sort of 504 before we go. So I guess I'm just taking aim at getting a specific high school plan in place.
Oh, cool. Well, now I'm curious. I can't remember what book that was. I have to go back and find it.
Oh, I have it right in here. But anyway, I mean, it may not be related to, but I find a lot of things off the website. Another inside a book, it's called Teaching Teens with ADHD.
Oh, yes.
It's Gary
Dindy.
Chris Dindy, yeah.
Chris Dindy. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites. In fact, she's one of my mentors. She's absolutely phenomenal. She's got a new edition out too of her Bird's Eye View, where they followed up with all the kids 20 years, I think, after they started the book. Go ahead. That's a really good one. Yeah.
And what's the author's name? I'm sorry. I'm writing quickly.
Sure.
Dindy.
Chris Dindy. It's D-E-N-D-Y. And it's her professional. Professionally, she goes by Chris Ziegler Dindy. And Chris is just C-H-R-I-S. Ziegler is, I think it's Z-E-I-G-L-E-R Dindy.
Awesome.
Then I can post that one in the forum, too.
Now I have to do this stuff with Joanna. And so I don't know how formal the plan would be, but I haven't the foggiest where to begin. So what a great idea.
Oh, good.
To allow yourself to be not just trusting if the school guidance counselor knows how to do it or knows what's best for your child.
I've been there enough to know. They have good ideas, but if you want something really specific, Yeah. I mean, for me personally, my experience has been I need to lead that conversation for sure.
Yeah. One of the, yesterday I was just told one of the books it's called Look Me in the Eye. And it's about working with kids on the Asperger's spectrum. But honestly, to me, it all gloms in together because it's my child and it's not a diagnosis. It's more, but I love that because it's like, look me in the eye. No, I need you over here. Or whatever. So I just love it that people can share clues.
Oh, sure. And sure. There's, at my kids' school, they do something called slant, and I can get you the whole list of things. And it's, you know, sit forward on your chair, you know, look me in the eye, attend to the people around you. And there's a whole breakdown of it. And it's all
okay.
Chosen from social thinking strategies, which is a cool thing too. I'll post that one
awesome.
On the forum as well. Yeah.
Cause,
so Carolyn, what do you want to take aim on then?
Well, right now, one of the big things that I had found out about with motivating and actually doing the things together with others was that I never give myself enough time to plan. Because it's one thing if you're kind of doing your own little plan, but it's a whole other thing if you want buy-in. Like, you can't, like, run out of time and then, you know, make everybody do what you said. So what I'd like to do is to kind of do an overall of the spring. And that sounds silly, but my husband's learning how to be a family manager. Because I'm doing my job search. And so forcing myself to think ahead, then I'm like, okay, Joanna's confirmation is next week, Sarah's graduation is June 5th, you know, this, that, and the other. All of a sudden I'm like, you know what, this is not a minute too soon to be doing this, but I just, never done that before, you know, really kind of, so I was scribbling and writing, because there's a lot of important things, like too many to count important things going on. And for me to attend to whichever one I'm choosing to attend on means that I have to think about that completely, and I have to not think about the other at that time. So if I'm interrupted, then it's like, can I get back with you? So I don't know if this makes any sense, but it's really, it's not even about getting buy-in. It's more like seeing if we're on the same sheet of music.
So I guess I'm a little confused. So you want to take aim specifically on what?
Okay, I'm going to try a new, I've never tried to describe this, okay. But so it's like you have to do your high altitude planning. You know, like, where do we need to get to by this point or whatever? And then on goals and things. And then that drives what I do today or tomorrow or where the priorities are. And so I'm good at that because I'm well-trained. 20 years of Army, you're forced to do back planning and all this other stuff. That's why I love the military and the structure and stuff and how they taught and stuff. But so my taking aim is actually inviting my family into that process.
So in a way, you're taking aim on yourself to allow yourself to be open to the possibility of letting other people handle those pieces.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it is also about doing things early enough that others, that you have time and energy to talk about it, or let it marinate and not have any pressure about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like very, very different for me. I always get frustrated that I did all the planning and I did all the researching and then nobody's helping me just get it done. So this means looking at this fall and, gosh, we're in the spring. Okay. But what is it that I need to do and who do I need to do it with?
So is it more about prioritization or is it more about acknowledgement for what you've been doing?
No. I'm actually, you're helping me take aim because I've never put words to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any sense to anybody else because I can't be clear when I don't have words. I think what I'm thinking about is like, who do I do which planning with, or who do I connect with on which project or piece?
Mm-hmm.
So that, for example, I've learned, like, when it's taking care of Matt Ruth, that I talk with my sister about certain of the administrative type things. And then there are other things that I shoot out on our little group message. And there are other things that I just don't say anything unless it becomes something. But we have
tell you what, why don't we go ahead and move into the topic and then
as we're talking, let's see if it doesn't
just kind of gel for you.
Perfect. That is great.
That
like
right?
I said, I have a structural change that is going to be birthed, but I'm in labor right now.
That's a fabulous way of putting it. I love that. Okay.
It'll be a great thing afterwards, but right now.
Yes, but the labor is always painful. Okay. So we're talking about motivation today. And I think of what both of you touched on is you know, clearly related to this in one way or another. And it's something that we've kind of spoken of before. It also connects well with activating the brain. I love this because I listened to Elaine and Diane give this talk a million times, and Diane is our, she does not have ADHD, and both Elaine and I do. And so when Diane gives this talk, it's always kind of an aha moment for her about, oh, that's what's going on in my son's head, or that's what's going on in Elaine and Jerry's head when we're talking. And it makes perfect sense to her then. And, if you already have ADHD, you know, it already makes sense intuitively. And it's also an aha moment in that you're like, oh yeah, okay, that's why I do that. Cool. Good to know. But the ADHD brain, you know, has real difficulty engaging in something that it doesn't find interesting. And we've talked before about that, you know, just get it done button, where for people who don't have ADHD, you know, filing an expense report or doing your taxes kind of sucks, but you sit down and you find the time to do it. You know, you find the energy and the brain power and you just get it done. And people who have ADHD actually experience, in some cases, physical pain when they have to focus on things like that or to try to get those things done. And so when we're trying to motivate our kids or motivate ourselves to do certain things and they have or we have ADHD, there's really five things that can help us kind of activate that just get it done button or help us pretend that we have one when we don't. And you can write these down if you want. They're in the workbook. And the five things are novelty. So, you know, it's new, it's exciting. Wow, that's kind of cool. That one wears off pretty quickly. Competition. My kids, two of my kids respond really well to competition. You know, I'm going to set a timer and see how quickly you can run up and down the stairs and grab your shoes while you're at the top of the stairs, or I'm going to see if I can get dressed faster than you or brush my teeth faster than you, that kind of thing. I have two kids that freak out when we time them, and that just puts too much stress and pressure on them. So that's not an area that works well for them, but for a lot of kids, that bringing in that competitive nature that a lot of ADHD kids have is a great way to get things. A sense of urgency. I know a lot of adults and high school students and college students use this as a tool to motivate, and that's when you wait to the last minute and you've got a big project the next day or a test or something due, and you say, wow, I got to get on that. It's due tomorrow. And so there's that sense of urgency driving you, and that is a technique that is oftentimes successful. May not be the healthiest way to do things, but it does work in some cases, and I think it's important that we recognize that as a tool for some people with ADHD. That's the one that works the best for them. And if it's, you know, damaging to their health, lack of sleep, you know, increased stress and anxiety around that, then it's great if we can figure out another way to help drive motivation. But it is a tool, like I said, a motivating tool that is successful for some people. Interest. So this is things like, you know, video games, Minecraft, a book, a TV show, anything that the ADHD brain finds interesting will hold attention for a long time. That's why, you know, probably 99.9% of parents that I deal with say, I just don't get it. He can watch, you know, he can play video games for hours and hours on end, but I can't get him to, you know, pick the towel up off the floor after he showers. Two totally different things. Video games also combine kind of all of the above when we're talking about motivation. And so very powerful, powerful motivators because they're interesting. They're new, right? There's competitiveness. There's a sense of urgency because you've got to get certain missions or whatever accomplished by a certain amount of time. And so, the, you know, video games are kind of the end-all be-all of all the motivational techniques. The last one is humor. Anytime that you can find a way to make it fun, either through competition or just fun and exciting and funny in and of itself, that works too. We've talked about, I know one parent who tickles her son until he gets out of bed, and it's just kind of a fun thing for them in the morning. I have another parent that comes up with a funny joke of the day, and the kid can't see it until they come downstairs, you know, and they have to have certain things done before they can come downstairs, and so that's the reward, not to see what the joke is. You know, there's all kinds of different ways to make things fun and interesting and competitive and to kind of create motivation or a sense of motivation, that just get it done button in our kids' brains until they can do it themselves. So as we're talking about that, what's coming up for you guys?
I think my son, sorry, responds to all of them on a certain level. Humor is probably the biggest one. To a certain extent, competition, as long as he's not competing in an atmosphere where he's going to be in a lot of people and look really bad, you know, if he doesn't win. But let's say his dad's a terrible spiller. So when we're working on something he's spilling, he has a competition with dad. Of course, he gets to study. I'm like, okay, let's see who can spell these words the fastest or whatever when we do practice spelling words. And, of course, my husband, to a certain extent, sort of, you know, just because, you know, it's a little bit rigged, but not always. When the words get harder, my husband's like, you got me, I don't know. So when it's like, oh, do I get to have a competition with dad to see? And when we get to beat dad in spelling, then he really enjoys practicing his spelling words. So in the sense of competitive, I think that works. Humor probably works the best. Urgency is probably the biggest one. So, you know, when his headset broke and all of a sudden he needed money to buy a new headset, you know, for all of a sudden I want to cut the grass, I want to clean your car, all the big money items on the list, they earn a certain dollar amount, he's running down the list, do I need to, you know. So I think urgency probably is a really big one too.
Yep. And I think to some extent, you know, people, neurotypical people use all these as well, right? I mean,
right.
It, which is wonderful in schools too, because, you know, the things that benefit our kids with ADHD also benefit everybody, you know?
Right.
You can make learning fun, then it's more fun for everyone. But it's critical for our kids with ADHD to have that component in there. Carolyn, what's coming up for you as we're talking?
Well, I would be, say that I'm probably entering transition. Anyway, this is incredible to me because, like, I'm looking at these words, I'm listening to what you say, and the huge aha is that I always appreciate it when others do this for me. And I never saw them like broken down into individual things. So I had no idea. So this is just taking something and just removing an entire huge curtain of like
wonderful.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Cool.
But, so since I would get frustrated on doing planning, I try to use all five methods at once. And then the urgency comes up real strong because nothing's working, so we just have to get it done. Anyway, so all of a sudden I'm like, oh, so this could be part of the discussion, like, in terms of listening to my family members and having little itty-bitty little plans, but moving towards success. I think that's what we're trying to do, is having some success at some level so that we can engage with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But just these things, like, wow.
Mm. Isn't that great?
This blows my mind because I thought it was just a soup that, like, some people, or, you know, a skill that some people have and some people don't, and I just didn't. So
uh-huh.
I just always work real hard. And now
uh-huh.
I'm looking at it, like, thinking, well, if I could plan a little bit in advance, then I could have, like, kind of be a little curious about and have more freedom to maneuver into which thing might work without
mm-hmm.
a lot of pressure that it has to work because
mm-hmm.
we're already late.
Right.
I don't know. This
right.
is...
And then it's our urgency and not their urgency, which goes in a
right.
different
and,
direction.
Exactly. And I've just used up my neuron bank for today, and there's nothing left.
Yeah.
You know.
I hear you. Yeah, it depends on the time of day dependent, right, how creative I can get.
Well, and for me, the creativity doesn't happen, like, under the wire because, okay, so spacing out the planning time, talking about motivating self and motivating others, these are like these specific tools that allow you to stay out of overwhelm and to still be processing.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, you can use them that way for sure.
You know, I was just thinking, because
mm-hmm.
it's like when you need to get a babysitter, and so, or if you're filling a shift for somebody or whatever, you have five
mm-hmm.
or six numbers, and so you don't feel pressure like, oh, my God, they've got to answer. You're like, nope, I got five numbers. One of them is
I can work through all five of these. I love that. That's
and
a great way
I'll
of looking at
trying.
It.
So
mm-hmm.
anyway, I'm just having a whole new thought, like, wow, just by planning a little bit earlier
mm-hmm.
to give the time to let some of this bubble up, and maybe it's not going to even just have to bubble up for me.
Some of it's just having labels to put with things, and it never ceases to amaze me how powerful it is. I mean, chances are you were doing a lot of these things already without saying, okay, this is me engaging, you know, in urgency or in competition. But intuitively, you were probably using a lot of these techniques already. But just by saying, here's what they are, and seeing them in a way that you can kind of work down the list if you have to, is helpful and anchoring, right?
Yes, and it's more of that they are tools and not traits. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're tools. That is, I choose to use this tool to solve this or to, to make this more manageable or to move, like with my Sarah, it's like, well, some forward movement is better than stuck in the mud and overwhelmed. So let's just try one and then without a feeling like you're desperate, like this has to work. But it feels like a way of me turning over more to others to handle of their own life.
Gotcha.
I kind of see a path there.
Yeah, you're like releasing the reins a little bit, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And just, can I caution you for just a second on something?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, overwhelm. For some people, it's not listed on our list of ways to activate or engage or motivate the ADHD brain, but overwhelm can be a sense of urgency. It can kind of fall underneath that. And I just caution you to kind of be aware of that, because there are times when we fall back on overwhelm as a tool to get us going without realizing that we're doing that. It also works with drama or busyness. You know, people who are always busy, that's their tool. That's what they're using to keep them going. And so just something to kind of keep in mind in terms of, if it's working for you, great. But if it's causing you pain in other areas, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just was thinking, it's like any tool. Sometimes it if it's a tool that's effective for this, then it's good. And then if it's not effective, then it's not helpful. But all of a sudden, I'm realizing that when I'm teaching nursing, I always, you always want to let your students or your subordinates, whatever, you want them to go right to the point of overwhelm. And hopefully they will realize when they're there, and you don't have to rescue. But if there's a safety issue or whatever, then you rescue. But the closer you can let them go. But I was just realizing that's kind of what I'm doing. With my husband, letting him being overwhelmed about the number of emails. I'm like, well, I don't know, that religious ed email came in. I remember reading something about it and saying, well, what time is it supposed to be? I said, well, I just stuck a placeholder on the calendar, so I don't know. I mean, that was months ago. And so it's not playing stupid, but it's more like saying you're going to be uncomfortable with overwhelm. Or, you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff to process, but if I process it all first, then you don't get to handle what comes in and process it.
Right. It's a teaching moment. It's that failing forward that we've touched on before.
Yes.
But, you know, that there is a certain amount of pain. And it's, when we're talking about pain, it's about identifying that kind of can't versus won't. And, you know, figuring out where that stress point is that's too high. You know, I forget what it's called right now, that curve where there's
the
amount
sweet
of stress.
Spot.
Yeah. Too much on this side is like breakdown city. And then the other side is not enough to get anything done. And so even with our kids, you know, and it's difficult to figure out where that needle is on that, right? That sweet spot, like you said. And this might be a way to kind of help you gauge that. So Tina, as we're talking about this, is there a certain situation or something coming up or with respect to what you were taking aim on where you can see one of these tools working better than another? And what would that look like?
For my son's sake, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess just in finding motivation to, you know, I think he has plenty of, I guess he has plenty of motivation to get to high school. He just thinks it's this big landmark in life and he's going to be able to drive and he's going to be able to have a girlfriend. I don't know. In his mind, he thinks it's going to be the greatest thing. We all know, you know, differently because we're all grown up. In his mind.
We hope it'll be the greatest thing.
Yes. It'll definitely, I think it will be definitely, you know, good for him because it's difficult to get him involved in social things when he's homeschooled. This is a huge homeschool neighborhood. There's tons of possibilities,
wow,
but I really can't ever get any buy-in to try new things. Oh, here's a group going to do this. Oh, they're going to have an eighth grade prom. They have a talent show. They have a, and he never wants to do any of it because I didn't know anybody. I don't know anybody. And so, getting him involved, in groups and things in high school, I guess is something I'm going to have to do. I don't know if the sense of interest maybe might come more into play because, you know, like JROTC kind of things, he definitely has interest in military type things. And they have a mountain biking club at the school and he does love that.
Yeah, cool.
So maybe using interest, maybe my biggest motivator for the thing I'm taking aim at, which is just getting a plan in place to try to make this the most successful as possible.
Yeah. Now, is he, I know a lot of kids with ADHD, I have one who does this too. He never wants to do anything, but then if we can get him there.
Right. Yes.
Sometimes,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's great. Is that how your son is?
And so I have to, yes. And I have to find, but the older he gets, the harder this is because he's bigger than I am now. So it's not like you can manhandle them anymore. So you really do have to
get it. Yeah.
You really do. Honestly, I have offered, okay, I'll give you $20 if you'll just go take this tennis lesson with me. I mean, I'm trying to find things that I know he loves to play tennis in the backyard. I'm trying to find motivators. Finding them is not always easy, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see, just to get him out and get him involved in doing new things. I think he's afraid of failure, but once he's there and he sees, okay, this is not so bad, he always enjoys it once he's there, but it's getting more difficult to do the older he gets. Interest is, I guess, the biggest one I have to use.
Sometimes with our son, we'll do, you know, you have to make one new friend or get one new person's name.
Right.
And if you do that, you get whatever the prize is, you know, or you stay for 20 minutes. And
right. Yeah. And that's what I said this last time. You really like tennis, but if you're going to do it, you don't want to get bad skills in place. So just go with me. I can't teach you. I don't know. I wish I did, but I don't. But I love to learn. I love tennis. That's my next thing that I kind of, I've been a runner and my body is 40 now and it says don't run anymore as much. Don't run marathons. It says, it's getting mad at me, so I need to find a new sport. So I like
bike riding.
Yes, I like that too, but it can be a little more dangerous. I'm terribly uncoordinated.
Yes.
So I was trying to find something not too dangerous. But anyway, I do have a bike, but nonetheless, I guess finding those things to say, okay, you go to one lesson, you have to go. If you don't like it, you don't have to go back, but you have to at least try. To me, it's been a process of accepting because in my mind, I'm like, he's going to go, he's going to love it, it's going to be great. And then he goes and maybe he doesn't love it and it's not great. And I feel disappointed or somehow whatever. But what I have to realize is the process of trying new things may have benefits that I just don't realize or I don't see.
Exactly.
And I just sort of have to accept that I tried and move on.
You guys don't need me. You guys can just coach yourselves. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's so many things where we don't realize that the learning or the change is taking place, and it may not be taking place in a, you know, it may not be where our kid gets back in the car and is like, wow, I absolutely love that. Yeah, you were right, Mom.
Right, and that's what I thought. You would just love it. And then when you don't just love it, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But it may lead to something else, you know. I mean, almost 100% of the time it leads to some other avenue that's either equally or even more successful than we thought the first avenue was
going to
be.
And just have to keep going.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Well, Carolyn, what about you? Can you think of a specific scenario or a specific opportunity to put this into effect? I know you said with your husband.
I am just enthralled by your talk, you guys talking, because one of the reasons why Joanna has a social phobia disorder or whatever, as opposed to just social anxiety, or I don't know, I can't remember the correct name, was because had no idea how to motivate her or my husband, because apples don't fall far from trees, to participate, and to participate enough so that they know what their limits are, and to gain tools, because if you're not in it, you can't practice any tools or even realize that you need tools. And so, just it's incredible. I think what I need to be taking aim on is what a tool that works for me may not work for them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I still think it comes down to planning, like not having so many things going on that there isn't time to let some of this process even
mm-hmm.
together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what was just incredible for my husband and I working on the calendar together.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Like I said, I always thought the people who could motivate it was more like a manipulation. Does that make sense? And so the shift
mm-hmm.
that I'm having right this moment,
like a trick almost,
is that
mm-hmm.
right for my benefit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's instead saying, I see that you're stuck. What is there anything that I could do, you know, or can we, anyway, just a new way to handle it, that I don't need to motivate somebody else out of their stuckness or their issue, but if I had a little more time to listen. But even with the planning thing, and I know this makes no sense, I can 10 years from now
I'm actually following it perfectly.
but what I was just thinking is that by planning enough in advance, then that actually allows me to turn over different things to others. Oh my goodness. Like, I'm just kind of seeing this kind of cascade thing. And the specific example I have is for Easter, we're having Easter dinner here. But I work at Aunt Ruth's house on Fridays, but I wanted to help her to make the cinnamon buns that she always makes,
uh-huh.
but she can't. So I was planning enough in advance to ask the aide who's with her on Friday morning to see if she could make time to get the dough rising, you know, get the dough started. And she's like, oh, okay, so I'll do the bed tomorrow instead. And I'm like, anyway, so it just started this whole cascade of things. And then my mom says, well, I'll go over with the mom, can you find the recipe? And so all of a sudden, with enough planning, it's like this kind of really cool thing. And then Friday evening, we're going to be making cinnamon buns
awesome.
One way or the other, you know. Then
mm-hmm.
there's always,
mm-hmm.
if all else fails, you just buy the Pillsbury ones and pop them open and make them. And that's not that
there you
easy.
Go. That's right. It's the journey, right? Focusing on the process.
Yeah. So it's that kind of thing is like, you know, getting the buy-in, but
yeah.
doing it with the right people and then having it not fizzle, but just kind of create a life of its own. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I got it. Cool. Thank you. So we did really well on taxes. It was just the three of us. Yeah. So I'm thinking now's a good time or a good point to do a quick checkout. And so, you know, I feel like I've gotten an aha already from you, Carolyn.
Oh,
if you want
yeah.
to skip that one, you can. And we did kind of touch on what a realistic action step is for us to take, kind of. And then how can you set yourself up for success with this action? And Tina, if you want to do your aha moment, you can throw that in there too. And again, realistic action step to take and how to set yourself up for success with this action. And if it's just a matter of kind of restating it, if you feel like you've already touched on it, that's totally fine too. But we'll just wrap up with that and then we'll be off to the next thing.
Let's see. I'm trying to organize all that in a hurry in my head. I think maybe.
Oh, don't take your time. There's no rush.
To me, I think just having these things written on a piece of paper in my notebook, and maybe I understand the concept of getting buy-in. I did not always understand it. And first of all, I think the biggest thing I ever had to let go of was realizing that I shouldn't get mad at other people because they don't have motivation to reach my goals. You know, if
I want
a certain thing, then that's not fair. I don't like spending my life and my time reaching other people's goals that don't mean anything to me. So I have to let go of that and accept some of those things belong to them and not me. And if I want to be a person at peace in my own head and in my own family, I'm going to have to let that go.
That's beautiful.
You know, I like a clean space and I like it organized, and if something sits out more than 30 seconds, I've grabbed it and I've put it back where it goes there. But other people in my house don't necessarily share that to the extent that I'm willing to give the energy I give it, but I shouldn't expect them to do, you know, to that degree, to do that for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not their goal. It doesn't make them happy. And it's not fair of me as a person to ask other people to spend all their life and time meeting my goals. I don't do it for other people. Why should I expect them to do it for me?
Right.
So just to let that go. And next, when there is something that is important enough that I need to get buy-in, for example, your education or your ability to develop, you know, lifelong relationships or these other things, when it matters, to really call down the list of what matters. And when it matters, maybe just pull this list out and just read over novelty, competition, urgency. Just read it out loud as I'm running through ideas, and then maybe even sometimes I just throw it out there to my son. Okay. What will it take to get you to do this? Or to get curious first, why don't you want to do it? Are you scared you're going to fail? Are you scared somebody won't like you? Are you to get curious first and then get buy-in based on the curiosity, you know, get based on those answers. So what, and maybe just ask him some. I spent a lot of mental energy trying to fix things all on my own. Fortunately, he's old enough now to, you know, give input. And so I can say, What will we need to do? And, you know, to get buy-in, most of the time I get best buy-in by planning ahead of time, I think. This was the contract, for example. We wrote it out. You signed it. You understood it. When the rule is broken, you know, or whatever, you know, and just planning ahead of time so the expectations are clear ahead of time. And so sometimes the buy-in is just you promised. You said so. You did. You have to. Or, you know, I don't know if I'm making any sense at all.
You are.
Trying
to make
it okay. So just, I guess getting his idea about, okay, what is it going to take? Because this is important. It's not, I don't want you to sit in the house all the time and not have relationships. Why? Because it's important that you understand how to make relationships. You don't need a million superficial relationships. You just need a couple of really good ones, you know? So how do you make really good friendships? You won't do it by sitting in the house and being scared. So to me, I got to get buy-in for that one because that one is important. You know, that's important in our long-term goal of having a healthy, happy, successful life. So I guess when it matters, I need to just open this list and maybe just look down this list as it's written here and think through ways. And sometimes he knows what might take buy-in. And some, like if he says, if you'll let me do fewer science problems or math problems, then I'll go. Or if we went to a symphony, if we can skip math that day, then I'll go. And so I just take the math and divide it up over the rest of the days. And I'm like, okay, we'll skip math that day, whatever it takes. And so And so I don't know. Sometimes I ask him, and sometimes he really is clueless. And so I'll just have to look down his list and see if there's anything I can think of, just physically looking at the words.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that would be helpful. Okay, that didn't go anything when it came out of my mouth like it went in my head, but there you go. I think
that,
having
that
it on a piece
perfect.
Of paper helps
yes.
to me to run through things when I have to, you know, get by him for something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect.
I think... what just came to me, and I think what I will probably be my takeaway specific thing is, who owns it anyway? Is it my goal, or what is their goal? What is my goal for them? I just all of a sudden realizing that it's like, well, what are their goals? And it isn't all about me.
Hmm.
But to be, it's so nice when you're helping someone to attain their goal, because they're already charging into it. And it's like pulling teeth, or worse than pulling teeth, whatever, when it's your goal and you're trying to make other people want to do it. Or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Carolyn, you want to check out real quick?
Yep, and that's just the planning, honestly.
Yep.
But again, if I'm only doing what I'm supposed to do instead of managing everybody's everything, then I think I could get a few more minutes to plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little more freedom, a little more flexibility. To look at those five things,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to say, well, how important is this? And if it's really important, like cinnamon buns, then one way or another, it's going to get done, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing.
Okay. Awesome. All right, guys.
That's great.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Great session today.
Thank
Thanks
you
for working so hard and being fully present. We appreciate it. And have a great couple weeks. Don't hesitate to post
right,
anything in the
can.
Forum and tag Elaine, Diane, or I if you need anything. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Great.
Take
great.
Care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.